Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Wichita. May God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Most of you know that I recently got back from Africa. I was over there for about 10 days. That's really not what I'm going to, our study is going to be about tonight. But it does kind of relate because of where God put me at that place in Africa. And some of the situations that I got placed into, I can kind of relate to where Paul is tonight. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Some of the trials and tribulations that I've gone through in my life were nothing like what Paul had gone to prior to coming to this point that we're going to be studying tonight. But we had a really good time. We got to meet a lot of really neat people. We got to experience something that I didn't think that I was going to experience over there. I expected something a little different. I expected to see a lot of heartbroken, sad people because they live in such a poor atmosphere. But instead, what I found was a bunch of people very rich in Christ. They love... They love our God so much that it doesn't matter to them. It has their living conditions, the things that people do to them, the trials and tribulations that they go through on a daily basis in this body and in this world aren't their big concerns. Their concern is blessing God. They try to live their lives to the fullest to bless our Lord, because they understand that that is their purpose on this planet. They understand that their purpose is not to gain riches. Their purpose is not to be better than their neighbor. It's not to be more prosperous and to have all the neat things. In fact, they really kind of felt sad for us. I heard that on several occasions was how much they pray for us in this country because they feel like that we've become so polluted with the world and our needs and the things that we think we need, and that they feel this desire and this need to pray for us constantly because they understand that those things don't mean anything. They're not the things of this world are not important. I mean, we understand that we've got to have money. Money is put on the earth. God invented money. He invented it for one reason only, and it's for us to use as a tool. It's for us to get the things that we need to survive in this world and on this planet, to provide for our families, food, shelter, things like that. But it's not here in transportation so we can work. The other thing about that is when we go to work, God provides our jobs for us, and we go to work to earn that money to provide for our families, and He expects us as Christians to always be a good steward, not just to our families, but to our employers and our jobs, and to be a beacon to the rest of the employees that are there that we work with, and the people that we work with, and our bosses. So they pray for us constantly because we've polluted it. They see it that way, that we've taken it off the charts. When those people work, they work for survival. You saw the little children up there. They ate sugar cane. That was one of their main staple diets, was sugar cane. The other main staple diet was corn. They ate very little beef or meat and things like that because it's just they don't have an abundance of it, but they eat a lot of corn, they eat a lot of sugar cane, and it's really cool to watch the little kids eat it because they just peel it off and they stick it in their mouth and they chew it like gum, and they get the sugar out of it and then they spit it out. So everywhere you walk, there's these little wads of chewed up sugar cane all over the place, but it's pretty neat just watching them, and they're just so happy. They get a piece of sugar cane, those little kids were just so happy to have it, and they would pray. They would stop and they would bless God, pray to God and thank God for the blessing of that sugar cane, that He gave them something to sustain them for another 4 or 5 hours until they got to eat their piece, their one ear of corn or whatever they got. But they were so happy, and that's what really floored me over the whole thing when I got off the airplane and we drove 300 kilometers up into the forest or up into the jungle and into the mountains, and we saw those people, and I saw how happy they were, and they saw how sad we were, and they were like, we're just so blessed to see you guys here, you know, what's the matter? It's, well, you know, we feel kind of sad because you don't have shoes. We don't like shoes. We feel sad because you don't have nice clothes. We don't need nice clothes. We feel sad because you have no running water in your house. We don't need that. We got all the water we need outside. We feel sad because you don't have a refrigerator full of food. We don't need that. We got bananas on the tree right outside. We've got a garden that we grow ourselves. We've got food that we've got here. But most importantly, we know who God is. We know who our Lord Jesus Christ is. And we understand that. And we let him come into our hearts. And we let his Holy Spirit fill us. And that's the food that they get. That's the water that they get, is that Holy Spirit. And then we found the one place they were lacking. We made a judgment, because God allows us to do that. He gives us wisdom and judgment. We found that the one place they were lacking was right here, the Word of God. They understood that Jesus died for us. They understand that the Holy Spirit fills their body, and they understand that they can allow the Holy Spirit to come back out and bless others. But they don't. They have really limited in discipleship and really limited in their teachings of the Bible. So that was one of the things when I went over there, and we found that, and we were looking at the other two pastors, or not other two, the two pastors that were there, asked me if I would work with them and their pastors on teaching the Bible and how to teach the Bible, not teach from the Bible or teach out of the Bible, but to teach the Bible to them. And I agreed to do that, and I was so blessed by that, because God always puts us in a situation where we're not really comfortable and where we're not really all that good at and things like that. And I've been very fortunate, because I've got a pastor who's been working with me on how to teach the Bible. And they recognized that, because I had done a couple of devotions for the group, and I was just so blessed that they wanted me to do that. So tonight, I'm going to be talking to you about what's in this part of the Bible, and it's really interesting. And when I read this the other day, it was part of my devotion, and I told Kiki, says, I know what I'm going to teach on Wednesday night, because I just got to this part. It was really neat, because God always does that. He always puts us right where we need to be at that point in time. And I was just pondering, I've been praying, what am I going to teach on? And Bob had already asked me to kind of share a little bit about Africa, but that really wasn't, it doesn't really fit this. And then I got to thinking about, well, it really kind of does, because it's the Bible, and that's why I was there, was to share the Bible with those people and share the knowledge that we have and to share the Holy Spirit that God has allowed me to have in me and to share that with them. And that's kind of where we're, why I got this. And I thought, you know, this is really neat, because it all kind of puts it all together. To give you a little bit of history about where we're at, 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, we need to realize something. Paul has just gone through a pretty trying part of his life. This is into his second missionary trip, which is pretty cool, because that was like my third missionary trip. But this is his second missionary trip, and he had really kind of stepped off into an area that he didn't plan on going to. God led him. God led him to Greece. Greece was really not a place Paul was planning on going at this time. But God had led him through that, because it just kind of kept leading him up through Greece. And he was really persecuted during this mission trip. A lot of things happened to him. He was in Thessalonica. He was thrown in prison, which was a really neat thing. And Athens, when he got to Athens, he was ridiculed. He was actually to the point where he was preaching the gospel message, and it was so they were so deluded in Athens about the way that they think that they thought he was just babbling. They just said, what's this guy babbling about? They had no concept. They had no, the Holy Spirit was just so far from, these people had pushed the Holy Spirit so far out of their lives that they couldn't even comprehend what Paul was talking about. And he had been beat, he had been stoned, he had been ridiculed publicly. He had gone through a lot of things before he got to Corinth. Well, now he goes from Athens, this kind of like the Hollywood of, or the Los Angeles of Greece, and he goes, now he's going to the Las Vegas of Greece, you know, and going to Corinth. This place is, but the thing about Corinth, even though it was a lot like Las Vegas as far as the things that were going on there, it was also the intellectual mecca of Greece at that time. That's where all the intellects went. That's where all the really smart people went, the wise people, the people with all the knowledge and the thinkers of the day, the thinkers of the age. So Paul gives in to the Holy Spirit at this point, and kind of this is where he gets to, and I know I look old with these glasses on, but I got to have them. He starts out here, and I, brethren, when I come to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. And I related to that right off the bat because I do not have that capability. I'm not a great orator. I don't speak all that well publicly. I never have. This is all kind of new to me, so I just kind of give over to the Holy Spirit and I let him guide me. And Paul chooses, when he gets there, to put himself in a situation where I'm not going to use the fancy words. I'm not going to use all that knowledge that I've gained over the many years that I trained in Jerusalem and all the things that I've had, all my background. I'm not going to use all that here. I've tried using all that. I tried it in Athens. I tried it in all these places, and it just didn't get me anywhere. And he goes before God, and he says, okay, and I'm just conjecture on my part, but this is what I would do in his case. You go before God. God, please show me what I need to do here to get through to these people. So he goes to Corinth, and he says, okay, I'm not going to do anything spectacular. I'm not going to go up there and use all these big words and try to compete with them on an intellectual basis. I'm going to let God do it his way. So he gets up there. He says, okay, it's going to be the testimony of God. I'm not going to do it with all the wisdom and excellence of speech that we know Paul had. He was a great orator. He was a very learned man, but he didn't choose to use that. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was his message. That was the only message that he was going to give at this point, was Jesus Christ crucified. What Jesus Christ did for us. He came to this earth. He lived a life as a man. He was tempted like a man. He went to the cross. He took all of the sins of all mankind to date, in the future, in the past, and everything, and he took it all on himself. And he hung on a cross until that human body passed away. Till that human body died, physically died on the cross for us. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. He came out of heaven. He came out of a glory place to nothingness. He was even born in a, some people say a barn. I believe it was probably a cave, because that's what they used for. And he was placed in a food trough. I mean, to that point, even to his birth, he made it so down to earth and so human that he put himself in that condition from his birth. And he lived his life, a simple life as a carpenter. He lived a simple life in a part of Israel that was not even noted for being anything special. In fact, it was actually the area that he grew up in was actually looked down upon. And he put himself in that light. He put himself in that area. And this was what Paul was going to teach these people, was what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. He died for us on the cross. He died for us. It's such a neat thing, and it's such a hard concept for the world to understand. We're blessed because we do get to understand it. We're blessed because we've accepted it. We're blessed because God placed something in our hearts that allowed us to accept what he did for us, allowed us to accept that Holy Spirit to come into us. And when we let that Holy Spirit come in, he allows us to read this word and to understand what it's all about. Without it, you can't do it. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. I can really relate to that. Paul had gone through a lot. In fact, he had even gotten sick. When he was traveling, he got sick. He was weak. He was really weak. He had been ridiculed. And I think that ridicule in Athens just really got to him. He was a wreck by the time he got to Corinth. He was beat up. He was a total wreck. He was weak, he was trembling, he was scared, he was upset. Things just weren't going quite right. Yet he kept going. He kept following the will of God. He kept persevering. Even though things were not working out for him on a personal level, he was growing spiritually. And because he was growing spiritually, he was going to be able to go to Corinth and bring the word of God to the people in Corinth and let that Holy Spirit come back out of him, back through him, and back out of him, so these people could see it in a very simple, plain way, something they weren't used to. The people in Corinth were used to the hype. They were used to the glitter and the glitz of everything. They had got to the point, like we kind of are in the United States today, where more is better. You know, you watch a movie one year, it's got some really neat effect. I mean, I watched Star Wars back when I was a kid. Star Wars came out. We thought that was the greatest thing in the world, was the special effects in Star Wars. I watched the last Star Wars movie. I mean, it was nothing like. You watch the old one, you can even see the strings, and you can see the mistakes and how they, and it's like, how did they dupe us back then? You know, and we thought this was great. And that's where they had got. They got to the point where everything had just kept going and getting. You had to be better. You had to be more. And to get their attention, you had to. And it happens in the United States today from the pulpit. We see that daily from the pulpit, how people get up and they have to make it spectacular to hold the attention of the audience. Well, Paul got to the point and said, I don't care. That's not what I'm going to do. That's what they're used to. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to cut to the chase. I'm going to cut it right down to the bare bones. I'm going to teach the Word of God, only the Word of God. Jesus died on the cross for you. And that was his basis. And that's where he got to. Very effective. And I think that's something that we need to keep in mind, too, today, is that we get back to that basic. We get back to, and I think people will respond to it. I know the people in Africa sure did. Because they're not used to all of that hype. They don't have to have the glitz and the glamour. Their favorite movie, I'll kid you not, the favorite movie over there from everybody I talked to and all those pastors I was with was The Lion King. They loved that movie. One of the guys, John, could recite the whole movie. When I first met him, he said, "You can call me Rafiki." And that's how he said it. I didn't know at the time that Rafiki meant friend. I just thought it was from the movie, but I found out later, you know, I found out shortly thereafter it meant friend. But it was really neat. But they're down to earth, and I learned that from them. When I read this, I got to thinking, you know, that's how those people are. They're so down to earth with their preaching of the gospel. And that's what they do, is they preach the gospel. And that's all they preach, over and over. And then when they found out that there's actually more in this Bible than just the gospel message, that it's added to, and there's more and more and more, and it's so deep, and the Spirit can talk to you and teach you so much more how to live your lives, how to live your life with a spouse, how to live your life without a spouse, how to live your life in the job market, how to live your life out in the world, how to live your life. It's all right here. It's really neat. People always say, you know, I really wished I had a instruction book on how to live my life. Well, they do. They just don't realize it. They just need to open it up, let the Spirit come in and show them. It's all right here. Paul got to that point. I'm cutting to the chase. I'm going back to bare bones. Let's see. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of the power and of power. He wasn't going to use worldly wisdom. And we find that today. Our preachers tend to get to this point where if you follow God, if you pray to God, if you live a righteous life, as righteous as we can live, the only righteousness we really have is what Jesus gives us, because it's his righteousness that we get to have. But they preach from the pulpit. If you do this, if you have enough faith, God will bless you in all these worldly things. God will bless you with money. God will bless you with fancy cars. God will bless you with big houses. I don't think that's what God had in mind when he said he was going to bless us. I think what God had in mind when he was going to bless us was going to bless us with the knowledge of what his word is, the knowledge of peace, joy, grace, understanding, how to live with each other, how to be good people, how to live as good as we can on this planet. But most of all, how to bring glory and praise and honor to God. That's what he wants. That's why we're here. It's not to get big houses. It's not to get good big cars. It's not to have a lot of money. Great. If you're blessed with that, super. That's a neat thing. But if you're not blessed with it, don't dwell on it. There's other things that God will bless you with. There's other things that are more important. Your happiness, your peace, your joy, your just knowing that God is with you on a daily basis, praying to him on a daily basis, being in your word on a daily basis will lighten your heart so much more than having all that stuff. That's another thing that I got from those people in Africa. They don't have all that stuff. They don't even miss it. Persuasive words of human wisdom. He wasn't going to use that. He wasn't going to use the fancy age, culture, words, the slang words, the buzzwords of the day. He wasn't going to use any of that. He was going to use the words that God gave him. He wasn't going to use human wisdom in the way that the world thinks, the polluted way the world thinks, which we know as Christians is completely opposite of the way we think in most everything. You know, it's okay to marry somebody and 5 years later divorce them. That's the way of the world anymore. The divorce, unfortunately, Christians have a higher divorce rate as non-Christians do. We've gotten drug into that thinking that we can just divorce our spouse if we don't get along with them for a little while instead of working it out, instead of working with them, instead of following the way the Bible would have us be husbands and wives to each other. We don't follow the wisdom of the age. We don't follow the this whole deal of Hollywood. I mean, we go home and we watch this TV, this little box in our house, and we let it tell us how to be smarter. That's worldly wisdom. Instead of having this out and reading this and asking God to show us how to be wise his way. Spirit and of power, because the Spirit is where we get our power. When we let the Holy Spirit come into us, we get empowered, we get a knowledge, we get an understanding. So we get to have that power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God, because God gives us his power. He sent a helper. He sent the Holy Spirit to us. When Jesus Christ left this earth to go to heaven to be with the Father, he left another person, another part of him, another part of our God, but an individual person called the Holy Spirit, a teacher, a trainer, a confidant, a a pal, if you must, somebody that's with us all the time, somebody that's not just right next to us that we can put our arm around and hold on to, but somebody that comes into us, somebody that fulfills our body and comes in. If we let it, He'll bring that Holy Spirit into us, and we can absorb it, and it can get rid of all that earthly polluted stuff out of our bodies. We won't get rid of all of it, but we sure get rid of a lot of it. Because if He got rid of all of it, which we will, He will eventually get rid of all of it, but not on this earth. We're stuck here for now. One of these days, though, might be 2 seconds from now, I might blink my eyes and you guys will be just glory. I mean, it would be great, but that's not where we're at right now. But He gives us this wisdom and power of God. It's a spiritual wisdom that we get to have. I'm in 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of the age, nor the rulers of the age who are coming to nothing. However, we speak the wisdom among those who are mature. As we become more mature in Christ, we become more mature in the Word of God. We let the Holy Spirit fill us up. We become a little wiser. We get to understand a little bit more. He only gives us what we can handle. He only gives us enough of that wisdom that we can work with, and enough knowledge and enough things that we can. He never gives us too much. He always gives us just enough because He's God and He knows what we can handle. But He gives us that wisdom. He gives us the ability to speak to each other. The ability to go halfway around the world and communicate with people who don't even speak the same language. He gives us that ability through His Holy Spirit. Those people were filled with the Holy Spirit. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. We got along great. We had a loving relationship. We were like brothers and sisters. It was like seeing old family. It was like seeing people I hadn't seen for years. I had never met these people before in my life, some of them. Well, all of them. And yet I felt such a kinship to them. Within a day of being there, I felt like I had known these people my entire life. And that's what He gives us. That's part of this knowledge and this wisdom and this maturity in Christ. When we become more mature and we understand that we have that relationship with each other. When you're a new Christian, you don't really understand it. You're kind of just trying to figure out what's going on. You don't know the pastor. You don't know the elders. You don't know. You might know you shake hands with the guy next to you. You don't really know it, but you know there's something there. But as we become more mature, we get to know each other. This church is awesome because we really, we got a lot of people going to this church these days, and fortunately we know most, I get to know most of them. I don't know everybody's names, but I see them at least once, twice a week, shake their hands, and we've got a bond. Even though we don't know each other's names, we've got a bond through Christ, and we have a wisdom. He gives us that wisdom to know that we've got that bond, and we've got that capability of being friendly to each other and to be heartfelt to each other and to pray for each other. You don't have to know somebody's name to pray for them. God knows their name. All you have to do is be willing to do it, and that's part of that wisdom among those who are mature. Yet not the wisdom of the age. The wisdom of the age is look out for me. Look out for number one. Don't care about anybody else. Don't get to know your neighbor. You don't need to know him. He's a jerk. That's the wisdom of the age. That's the way the people of the world think. Look out for number one. Well, when you're a Christian, you understand. You need to look out for the body. You need to look out for each other. God will bless that. He won't bless. God will look out for us individually. God will take care of us individually if we let him. If we understand that that's what he's going to do for us, that comes with wisdom. Not wisdom of the age, nor the rulers of the age who are coming to nothing. That's pretty cool, especially after we just saw this election. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, this was a disaster. This election was a disaster. How do you know? Might have been the best thing that ever happened to us. Doubt it. It's all going to come to nothing in the long run. We don't live in this world. We live in the world. We're not part of it, though. What do we care what the politicians are doing, other than we know that the politicians that are out there that are Christians, we pray for them. We help them move along. We help them do the things that they need to do through our prayers, through our support, and through our vote. we get to do that. But in the long run, nothing. It says right here, the rulers of the age, it's coming to nothing. Don't fret it. Don't worry about the politicians. Don't worry about the election. It's really neat because, you know, in the next 2 years, because of the House of Representatives and the Congress, the House of Representatives, it's so even, dead even, nothing's going to get done the next 2 years. They're not going to be able to decide on anything because no one party has political clout right now. So it's all going to come to nothing. Well, 2 years from now, we'll have another election. It'll be a whole new game, whole new party, whole new deal. It always changes. Don't fret it. Don't worry about it. Let's worry about God. Let's worry about where we're at in our relationship with Him. Let's worry about what He's doing in our lives and what we can do for Him, and worry about blessing Him. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery and a hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. We get to have something that they don't have. We get to have a wisdom that they don't even understand. A wisdom that God ordained for us before we even became people on this earth. God knew where we were going to be. He knew that He was going to have this secret wisdom. It's hidden from the world. That's why they were telling Paul, they were calling him names in Athens. They threw him in prison in Thessalonica. They did all kinds of things to him because they didn't understand what he was coming from, because God is hiding His knowledge. He understands. Paul understood what was going on. They didn't. When we're oppressed as Christians, when we're put upon as Christians, we have a knowledge and an understanding that it doesn't matter, that whatever we do as Christians for God, when we're placed in a situation where somebody tells us that we're doing something bad because it's not of the world, when we tell somebody that it's murder to kill a baby who hasn't been brought into this world yet that's alive, it's alive in its mother, when we tell them that, we're oppressed. People tell us we're idiots for thinking that, but we know better. The wisdom that God gives us tells us that baby is alive. It is murder when that child is killed. It's murder when they purposely kill that child. We know that. The world doesn't get it. We get it. That's part of this wisdom that He gives us. Which none of the rulers of the age knew. It's this. They didn't understand the glory. They didn't understand what God had done for them. They didn't understand that Jesus had died on the cross for them. They couldn't get it. It's hidden wisdom to them because they just don't get it. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. We understand what God did. We understand what Christ did on the cross. We understand that. The world doesn't get it. They think He was an idiot for doing what He did. They think that some people don't even think He existed. We've got proof He does, but people of the world just don't get it. They don't understand what He did. And God can hide that from them, and he keeps hiding that from them in certain places, certain people. They harden their heart. It's like Pastor Bob was saying last week or Sunday, they harden their heart, they harden their heart, and they harden their heart until eventually God just says, fine, you're going to harden your heart, have at it, go for it, I'm done. I'll harden your heart, and that will be it. That will be the end of it. That will be the end of what's going on. That's why it's so important for us as Christians to teach the gospel message of Jesus dying on the cross in a basic understanding to where those people can understand it, will accept it, and will come to God. God doesn't need us to do that. He can do that on His own, but there are people out there that we will be able to get through. We will be able to go past this hidden message. It happened to me. It was hidden to me for many, many years. 37 years it was hidden to me. the gospel. I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. It was hidden to me for 37 years until finally, it got through. I understood. I understood what God did for me, what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And now I understand the things that God has prepared for me, the things of heaven, the things of glory, the things that I'm going to get to have. And it's not just the things that I'm going to get to have, but the things that I got to have when I was in the world. I didn't know that God was blessing me all along. He put me down a road that brought me right to this spot tonight. And it started from the day I was born. I didn't realize that. I didn't understand. That was hidden to me. I didn't get it. Now I do. Now that I understand, I've let the Holy Spirit come into my heart. I've let the Holy Spirit come into my body and to teach me and to enlighten me on what's going on. I get to see it now. We all get to see it now. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The Spirit searches all things. The Spirit already knows where He's at. He already knows what's going on, but He searches all things in us. He searches our soul. He searches where we're at. He searches all those things that we need to know, and He ekes them out, and He pulls on us, and He shows us, okay, these things aren't working anymore in me. I need to get rid of these things and let God take over these things, these desires, these cravings, these things for more than what God has planned for me. I need to find out through the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit tell me where He wants me to go, where He wants us to be, not where we thought we were going to be in the world or these things of the world. The Spirit searches all things. All of those things He searches out. For that man, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him. That's a mouthful. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him. What man knows, man knows. What the Spirit knows, the Spirit knows. What a dog knows, a dog knows. A dog knows? No, that's... dog's nose is cold. And I'm going to go a little further here to kind of tie this together. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, this is kind of how this works. As a man, we know, okay, let's look at my wife. Yeah, look at her. We look at my wife. I'm married to my wife. She's part of me. We're united. We're united in under Christ. We're part of each other. We're one, basically. And I can talk to my wife, and she understands what I'm talking about. I understand her when she talks to me. We communicate. We're people. We're humans. We're on the same plane. We understand that. Now, I can talk to my dog. I can say things to my dog. She understands me. My dog understands the things that I tell. Don't pee on the carpet, dog. She understands that. Outside, go outside. I open the door, she goes outside. She understands that. My dog talks to me. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I do not understand what my dog says to me. But I know she's saying something to me. I can see it in her eyes. But see, that's this whole deal. Where you can go down. The Spirit, God can reach down to us and communicate with us. But we can't go up and communicate with God. And bear with me. We can't go up and communicate with God. There's a deal there that keeps us from doing that. It's this on the different plane. It's like my dog can't communicate with me, but I can communicate with my dog. My dog can communicate with the cat can't communicate with the dog. The dog's going below him to communicate with the cat. Cat lovers are going to hate me for that, but that's the way I see it. But we, being Christians, have a little different deal here. Now we have, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, God has given us the opportunity. He's given us the tool that we need to communicate with Him. It would be like if I could give my dog a little voice box thing and hook it up to her and then she could talk to me. It's kind of like that, looking at a worldly view. But this is an even neater thing, because not only does God give us a voice box so we can communicate with Him and understand Him, He took that and He put it in us. He took Himself, a part, the triunal part of God, the spirit part of God, and He put that in us. See, it was a thing happened when mankind fell from grace. We've got three parts to our bodies. We've got a spirit, a soul, and a body. The body holds the spirit and the soul. I believe, and it's the way that it started out, this is a little bit conjecture on my part, that when God started out with mankind, it was spirit, soul, body. The spirit, Adam had a spirit, had a heart for God. He could communicate with God because he had a spirit. When they fell from grace from God, when when mankind fell, the spirit was taken from up here, the top part of that chain, and was put on the bottom. The soul was then placed on the next still. And when the soul talks, when our soul talks, our desires come out. The soul gives us our desires. The soul is where we crave things. We want more. We want these things of the world. That's the soul talking. That's not wisdom talking. That's that soul part of us talking. But when we come to Christ, when we come to Christ, God takes that spirit and places it back up on top where it belongs. Then we start understanding that if we trust in the Spirit, if we let the Spirit take over, the soul still is there. And don't get me wrong, the soul's not completely all corrupt. The soul helps us out. The soul gives us we have our thoughts. We have our free will. That's part of that soul thing, is free will. The willingness and the freedom to go out and make decisions. But when we let the Holy Spirit come in and be back on top, when we accept that, the Holy Spirit's back on top, it guides us on how we need to use our will, our free will. It guides us on how we can control that spirit, that desire to be in the world. The Holy Spirit allows us to control it. God lets us control it. So He lets that come into us. Now we've got that. Now we also get to talk to God. And we get to listen to God. We get to read this book and we get to understand what's in it. We get to read this, open it up. We pray to God. God, come into us. Help me out, Father. I need help understanding this passage. I need help. And He'll enlighten us on it. We just got to trust Him. We have faith in His Holy Spirit. We have faith in Him that He will enlighten us. And He gets to talk to us, and we get to talk to Him back. And we get to understand Him a little better. It's really neat. And we become more mature Christians. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which is the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We don't have to talk in words to God. We don't have to verbalize. We don't have to be great orators. When we pray, we don't have to say just these really cool buzzword Christian sayings that we sometimes get locked into when we pray, even when we pray in public. What we have to do and what we need to do is concentrate on letting the Holy Spirit take over. Let the Holy Spirit work in us. Let the Holy Spirit guide our prayers, guide what we have. Let our hearts, sometimes I get such a charge out of Aaron Martin's praying. He gets so involved. He lets the Holy Spirit touch him so much when he's praying that sometimes he can't even get the words out because he doesn't have the right words. His vocabulary isn't right. He knows what he wants to say, but there's no words for it. It's so beautiful to watch him pray, and he gets so involved in it, and he gets so wrapped up in it that the Holy Spirit takes over, and he just sighs. He just gives out a sigh. God knows exactly where his heart is. God knows exactly what he's doing. God knows exactly what he's praying for. God knows the words to say, because he doesn't have to say them. He fills them. He's being blessed. God's being blessed because we give over to the Spirit instead of trying to be showy and use the words of the age and the wisdom that we think we've got in our own selves. We use his wisdom. We get to be blessed by what he gives us. He gives us the wisdom to teach others. He gives us the wisdom to go out amongst the world and take this gospel message and this Bible out there and to teach people what it says. That's a neat thing about being part of Calvary Chapel, is that's what Calvary Chapel's distinctive is to teach the Bible. It's not so much to go out and evangelize and bring people to Christ, because God will do that. God will build the church. God will enlighten people. Although there is a part of the church of Christ, the church of God, God's church, that he takes and goes out and evangelizes. He chooses to use people for their blessing. I got to evangelize. I'd never evangelized in my life. I went to Africa. I got to walk up and down the main street of Africa and go into the markets and stuff and evangelize. Never done it before. I was so blessed by getting to do that. I finally got it. At first I was saying, man, we don't need to do this. We need to be teaching these people the Word of God. We need to teach them the Bible. And then God said, no, you're going out and you're going to evangelize. You need to see this part of it too. And he set me out there and I got to see people come to Christ. It's nothing because I said, it's nothing I did. I got to be the vessel, and I got to be blessed by getting to see it and being part of it. God brought those people. God brought them to me. 10 guys at one shot walked up to me and says, brother, will you pray with us? We want to be saved. I didn't go up to them. They came to me. God brought them right to me. It's like, whoa, dude, this is great. I got blessed by that. They got blessed by that. It was a really neat experience. But in doing that, we need to remember that once we bring people to Christ, once Christ brings people to us, we need to teach them. We need to bring them up in the Word. We need to show them what God has to say to them further than just the gospel message. A way of living your life for Christ, to bless him, to bless God. There's a whole neat thing in here that God wants to bless us, and we need to bless him because that's why he put us here. And in order to do that, we've got to let that Holy Spirit work in us. We've got to let this work. We've got to be part of all this. And this is Paul. Paul finally gets to this point in his life where this is the message that he's going to teach these people, is the message of the cross, the message of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit can enlighten them, can work in them, and teach them. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him. Wow, that's so true. You know, I thought this whole Christianity thing was just a bunch of hogwash. I really did before I was a Christian. I thought it was just the weirdest thing I'd ever seen. Man, I walked into a little church one time. Kiki drugged me to a church one time. Literally drugged me to a church. And we walked in. It was not a Calvary Chapel. It was Calvary something in the little town that we lived in. And I walked in, and they were singing some worship music. And it was kind of upbeat, kind of cool. You know, I grew up in a Baptist atmosphere where you didn't do anything. But I walked in, and these people are like this. And they're singing. They got their hands up. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, what are they doing? This is nuts. There's nobody there. What are they doing? They're looking at the ceiling. There's nothing. What, you got spots up there? There's nothing up there. What are they doing? I was just like, oh. I told Kiki, we got back in the car, I ain't coming back here again. I'm never going to do that. I went into a Calvary Chapel when I got saved, when Christ finally touched my heart. I went into a Calvary Chapel in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Skip Heitzig was teaching. And before I knew it, they sang Amazing Grace, and it broke me. I don't even remember the message that he taught. All I remember, though, is that after the service over, sang some more songs, and I was standing there. Before I knew it, I was standing there like this. And this was probably, what, 2-3 years later that this happened. That's when God touched me the first time. I hadn't accepted it quite yet, but I knew he was there, and he was knocking on my heart. It's like, Joe, you need to know this. And it touched, and for a long, I got it, though. That's when God started teaching me. He started taking his Holy Spirit and just picking at my little heart and saying, let me in, let me in, let me in. And we moved to Florida, and that kind of all cooled off, although I changed a lot from that moment on. My wife will tell you, I changed a lot from that moment on. Then we moved to Wichita, and I just kept kind of changing. I was getting softer. I was a pretty bad guy at one time. I got a little softer, and then I came to Calvary Chapel here, and I listened to Don Duncan speak, and it started touching my heart. I started listening to the words that the Holy Spirit was using him. The Holy Spirit was coming through him. It was flowing back out of him, and I could feel it. And I accepted Christ at that point, and I was baptized. And it wasn't the baptism that did it. It happened before that. But I was so proud, though, to be baptized. I thought, all right, I'm going to show the world. And it's just a really neat thing to see how this all works. But the natural man, when I was a natural man, I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. But as God picked on my heart, I became less natural. I became less part of nature. I became less part of this world. And I became more part of Christ. I let Christ become part of me. I let the Holy Spirit become in me. And I started understanding what this word meant. But he who is spiritual judges all things. Oh, hold it. I skipped that. Let's see. It's foolishness to him, people of the world, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. They just don't get it. I didn't get it. But he who spiritually judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. But he who is spiritually judged by all things. Let's remember something here. We have the capability to judge all things through the Spirit. It's not that we pass judgment, but we have the capability to judge the things that we need for our lives. We have the capability of judging. Do I need this? Do I need to honor this? Do I need to do this over here? We have that capability. That's this judgment that we get through the Holy Spirit. Although, it says, we get to judge all things. We get to judge everybody. We get to judge if somebody is a good person, is somebody we want to be with, is somebody we want to... But we don't get to pass judgment. That's reserved for God. Those people will be judged. People will be judged by God. We'll all be judged by God. We are judged by God. He is the judge. But he gives us the capability for our good and for our families and for our people and for us the capability to judge, to know what we need to do and who we need to be with and the things of this world that we need to stay away from. He gives us that capability. I'm getting signs. Not from God, they're from Ken. And he himself is rightly judged by no one. Nobody can judge us. Once we become a Christian, once we accept Christ, once we allow that Holy Spirit to come into us, nobody in this world has the right to judge us, to tell us we're not going to heaven, to tell us that we are not Christians, to tell us that we are no good, to tell us anything. They haven't got that right. Now, they'll judge us on this earth. If you go out and you murder somebody, you're judged and you get thrown in jail, you have to pay the penalty of that, that's fine. That's judgment of this world. But God is going to judge us in the long run. God is going to be our final judge, not these people. We're only visitors here. We're just passing through. So they don't get to judge us. They don't get to judge what we if we get to go to heaven or not. They don't. They've lost that right. They never had that right. That's reserved for God. We don't have the right to either to judge them in that respect either. We do have the right to judge them whether we want to be with them or know them or be associated with them. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct them? That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. We get to start knowing the mind of the Lord. I mean, more signs. We get to start understanding the mind of the Lord. We get to understand what his will for us is. We get to understand where we get to go. We get to understand that no matter what happens to us on this earth, it doesn't really matter because we're going to go to heaven. That's a cool thing. We get to understand that. That's part of the mind of the Lord. That's what he gets to tell us. It's what he wants us to know. But we have the mind of Christ. Because we have the mind of Christ, because we understand what Christ did for us and what Christ wants for us, we get the ability to have his wisdom. We get to have his grace. We get to have his mercy. We get to have his views. We get to have his smarts. We get to have his understanding of the world. We get to have his good judgment, not our old worldly judgment and not the things that we had in our flesh. We get to have his judgment. He will guide us. He will instruct us, and he will tell us where we need to go. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. All of that, he started out with that and went through this whole deal and told these people in Corinth a whole story based on nothing but plain, simple, God did this for you. God allowed you to have this. God came in, can come into you and can be part of you if you will just let him, and he will guide you and teach you, and you will understand what he wants for you, and you will be able to live in this earth, on this earth, until your time comes to go be with him. Plain, simple, nothing fancy, no gimmicks, no programs, no fancy buildings. You don't need all that. No neat parking lots. I mean, we got a cool parking lot now. But you know, it's all. It was just a really neat thing when I read this to see where Paul had put himself to this point in Corinth. And the church in Corinth had its problems, but it became a pretty neat church. They had their problems. Paul always had a heart for this church. He wrote two major letters to them. He felt so attached to this church that he even let them know when they were doing wrong, you know. And he wasn't afraid to. And I don't think they were upset by it. I think they took it to heart because they knew that what he was telling was from the Spirit. It was plain and simple English, it was plain and simple Hebrew or whatever he spoke.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, please contact us at area code 316-263-3804 or check us out on the web at www.calvarychapelwichita.org.